As I look back on the stages now and I see, for example, I used to be identified with my body. I mean, that's who I was. I was this body, which I didn't really care for that much. And I, during those time, I was busy not going bald, for example. It's amazing. I mean, some people are busy not going bald. That's who they are, you know. Like, I had a long piece of hair, and I wore it like this, and, you know, in the wind, you stand like Rodin's The Thinker, you know, like this. And you notice how much hair everybody's got. I mean, it's a whole reality. It's a whole world of, like... I mean, this is like a 55-year-old decaying foot right here. And it's just like if you went out in the woods and you saw an old tree trunk. I mean, if I thought that was my foot, I'd freak. But it's just a nice decaying foot. It's rather attractive. I mean, look at all these veins and these bones, this loose skin. It's getting nice. You know, I have these spots on my head now. And there's this Porcelana ad that says, they call these aging spots, I call them ugly. That was the ad. So. For me, it's, they call these ugly, I call them aging spots. Because you begin to appreciate nature even when it's your own body. When you're not so busy taking it so seriously, when you're not so lost in it. It's just decaying, just like it's supposed to. You know, one of these days it'll drop away. No big deal. But then the personality, that was much more seductive. I mean, I really took that seriously for years. Am I happy? Do I have enough space? Are my relationships fulfilling? I mean, I really need to be nurtured. Because I was a motivational psychologist, so that was all real. I taught that it was real. It must have been real. I was saying it at Harvard. It must have been real. It was a complete melodramatic hype, it turned out. I didn't know that. No, you can have it seriously if you want. There's no rush. There's no time, so we'll wait. So you say, what do you mean my personality isn't real? It is real. It's relatively real, and you should... I've had neuroses... I've had an awful lot of neuroses. I mean, I've had sexual neuroses and emotional, all kinds of motivational neuroses. And I've been through analysis. I took drugs for years. I've been to my guru. I've done spiritual practices. I haven't lost one neurosis in all that time. Not one. The only thing that's changed is that they used to be these big neuroses, and now they're these like little schmoos. See that, hi, come on in, have tea. They're like old friendly neuroses, like, will they like me? That's a good one. See? Hi, come on in. You know, I can line them up. They're like the children, you know, for a family photograph. All my little neuroses sitting here, they're all right here. Okay. I've become really quite fond of them, actually, And I look at all the spiritual teachers and all the great saints, and they're all terribly neurotic. I mean, it's just like I'm not going to grow hair if I get really free. Probably. So I think my neuroses are just my style now. See, they give me style. Well... that's what flips. The dramas are still there, the desires and the needs. You just don't take them so seriously. You don't, I need this. It's like, I'm depressed. You're really depressed? Yeah, I'm depressed. You're completely depressed? Yes, I'm completely depressed. Every bit of you, oh boy, am I depressed. It's not, oh. Any part of you not depressed? No. Completely depressed. Are you noticing your depression? Yes. Tell me, is the noticer depressed? Well, a notice is just noticing. Aha! See? See, and after a while, after a while you get so that you climb into the noticer more frequently because you know the depression is just a thing that comes and goes. Or try boredom, for example. That's a great one. Everybody buys into that. I'm bored. What am I going to do? Call somebody, turn on the television, read a book, do something. My God, I'm bored. You don't have to be bored. There's so much to do. Things to think about. Listen to the news. See, those are all melodramas, and you milk them. We trip out on ourselves so much. There's nothing wrong with being bored. I'm bored. Nothing's ever going to happen again. See, nothing is. That's what's so funny. People say to me, this is a really heavy tour you're doing. You're traveling, you're doing 60 cities. Must be exhausting. It's funny. I didn't notice I was doing anything. I'm just sitting here. The plane does the flying. I don't, you know. I just come. I do. I look at somebody that's raising 3 kids. I think, oh, my God. You know? See, after you end tripping, and that's the thing, it dies hard, I'll tell you, because you want to milk it just once more. I mean, you can get just a little more juice out of it, just a little more. Yeah. Because we've all been grown up so much with the myths of this culture that more is better. And that just another one will be just a little bit more. I mean, ice cream is good, but in those great big cones that are made of that special, like waffles. Oh, God. And have you tried that ice cream shop that's over? You got to go 40 miles, but it's worth it. We're living in the yuppie paradise of more is better. And we keep dramatizing it. I need this to be happy. Then there comes a time when all the trips start to seem empty to you. I mean, you're going to buy a new car, and you get it, and you get into it, and you really want to milk the feeling of a new car. You drive down the street, and you're looking to see if anybody's looking, and you feel that power. Wow. Boy, the transmission's beautiful, and boy, oh boy, and you just, wow. And then a few minutes later, the first squeak, or the next payment. Yeah. Until finally, even as you're about to reach for it, it's already empty. Yeah, yeah. You'll go through it, don't worry, don't complain. You've just begun. And it gets scary because you based your life on collecting things. I've collected stuff. I kept collecting things. In fact, I had boxes of things. You have attics, but I'm a wandering monk, see? So I have to keep it in boxes. So I'm a sadhu, and my guru was known at one stage as Crackpot Baba. He was naked, and all he would pick up pieces of cracked pot and put them on his head. And then when he needed water, he'd use it for water and throw it away. And I'm in that lineage, so as soon as I get rid of my Master Charge and my Volvo and things like that, I'll be right behind him. But my problem is that I have not only the Master Charge and the Volvo, but I had all these boxes of memorabilia that I couldn't bear to be parted from. I mean, old letters from the 60s and love letters and pictures of people you're never going to see again. And I'd keep putting them in boxes, which I never opened because life was so rich. See, but I'd label them. And then every time I'd move, I would be this wandering sadhu, but behind me would be a UPS truck with all my with my personal history, you know. Huh. And then I got to the point where I thought, gee, I haven't opened these in about 10 years. I just keep adding to them. Why am I carrying them? I guess I assume I'm going to run out of the here and now. And later, when it's all horrible, I'll be able to open them and say, remember that time at the Grand Canyon? Wow, look at that. Who was that? You remember that high school? But all it seemed was that life was getting richer and richer. Not through trippiness, but just through simplicity. So I decided to throw them all away. So I put them out in the dump. But during the night, I was out in the dump. Because I thought, oh my, I thought of something I was never going to see again, and I couldn't bear it, so I was going. So I thought I'd better burn them. So I had a big fire, and I burned, out of 15 boxes, I burned about 9 of them. The other 6 I wasn't ready for yet. Now I have maybe 9. Hmm.